Morning, Dr. Jake. How are we doing today?
The Michael Labersey, good man. I'm all good. It's I don't know. I'm not pushing a shovel today, so I'm pretty excited about that. It's been a long week of
Really?
doing
I'm sorry. I've been sitting on
that.
the
Me
beach
too.
sipping vodka.
Yeah, work that's got to get done.
Well, it's total disruption time, so let's talk about getting some things done. There's a bit lot going on out in the world, man. I want to hit a bunch of things. I want to run got a scenario to run by you. I want to talk about something controversial, and then I also want to bring up Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. And it seems like a soft topic, men's mental health. In the machismo society, we're not supposed to have mental health problems. But I find that when men really do struggle with a lot of mental health, and there's like hidden issues out there, and I don't care whether it's 100 years from now, the stigmata will always be there. It's almost the same thing as men taking maternity leave. It's kind of like, I get it, but it still looks soft. So let's go. You have a personal connection to men's
Well,
mental
and you
health
don't think you
awareness.
do, and it's not that it's timely that this happens to be the thing, and that's not what we're doing. It's coincidental. So I mean, you guys see, I'm wearing this hoodie today. You are enough. The brown one. We've got these, and on the back it says to the person behind me, you're loved. Love the person in front of you. And we've gotten a lot of comments on these. My daughter bought these for us a couple years ago. And it's been awesome. People will look at it and are like, I really love your sweatshirt. Thanks for wearing that. And so my wife wears these all the time. I wear them, because it's a hoodie. Today's that kind of hoodie day. It's a little cooler out. But we last week actually had a friend of mine commit suicide. A guy, and
Oh,
he's
sorry.
just now turned 30 years old. And by all accounts, and outwardly, right on the surface, wildly gregarious dude, outward, outgoing, super extroverted, always reaching out, always happy, always smiling, always checking on his people around him. Like, outward appearance is he just seemed to be have it all together and doing it well. And at one point in his 19, 20, 21 years old, he struggled with addiction. It was a thing, and he changed. Had been completely clean and sober for a lot of years. Things appeared to be going really, really well. And of course, we can always speculate, and we can go back and say, well, apparently, when he was reaching out to everybody, what he was doing was reaching out for help. We're guessing, right? You're totally guessing at that point.
You're making yourself feel better at that
You're
point.
making
That's
yourself
okay.
feel better. Yeah, that's what it is. So here's what I will, here's what I'll ask for the guys. And Mike's right. It feels like such. Even I say that, and I like to think of myself a different way, overall when I think of myself in this machismo kind of thing. But the reality is that's ingrained in me. That is built. If you read any of you read my especially my latest book, you can absolutely tell where I came from, and it was an incredibly macho place in the world. And so it is. Mike's right. It's always going to be there. That stigma is going to be stuck in your head. And so what I'll tell you is. It's cool to reach out to check on your buddies. It is totally even better to reach out if you're having a problem and going, dude, I'm not doing well today. Whatever the thing might be, and it's not something that may drive you to a untimely end. It doesn't have to be that. It can simply just be hey, Mike, and I reached out to Mike. I don't know this, I reach out to him every once in a while, and I'm like, hey, I've got this going on. Mike's done the same thing with me. We've been able to rely on each other as friends, not only business partners. Use those relationships, and it's not a sign of weakness. My God, get that out of your head to ask for help. That actually takes a tremendous amount of strength, right? And that's how you really know who your friends are, is when you reach out for help, man, your friends are there.
I've got a
People are
hack
there
for
for you.
that. I agree with you 100%. I've got a hack for that, and I did it the other day. So my kids are working out at this place, and I'm allowing this guy to work with them and not me on purpose. And I had a question for the guy, and I needed his advice on something. I said, "Hey, man, I need a little coaching from you about this certain topic. Do you have a minute?" Boom. second I asked him I need a little coaching, he opened up and completely got unguarded, as if I was questioning him or I was seeing what he was doing wasn't right or wrong. And that's a great way to ask for help, is I need a little coach.
And that's a solid hack.
You know, it's a real hack. It's legit. And as you ask for help, you're not even, when you ask somebody for help, immediately the guard drops and you can, and the you kind of get human for a second. It no longer becomes teacher student, knowing more, knowing less. It becomes parallel, right? It becomes like sort of this, hey, all right, time out, right? Now we're talking human to human life experience. Now we're talking, let me get your take on life. Let me get your take on the situation. Let me use you as a sounding board. Let me use you and your entire life's experience as a sounding board, because I want to get it from that perspective. I may not agree, I may not listen, but what I need is a state of change, and I need somebody else's life imprint on my life imprint, so that maybe I can get a different perspective on it. You know, the problem with suicide, as everyone knows, is it just affects everybody around you. It doesn't actually affect you, because you don't feel anything. Dead, you know,
yeah.
Like, done, you're out of here. Again, you want to end your pain, I get it, but boy, you know, let's take a step back and understand that you're affecting the world around you. So, well, I'm glad we're bringing this up. I don't want to move on, but I want to move on. If you want to move on from this, we can keep talking about your friend. But
yeah, you can make a whole episode out of this. It's not necessary, but we want to make sure we're bringing this to the attention, because Mike and I, you know, by all outward accounts, we are, you know, the very manly men. I mean, that's just how a lot of people look at us. We tend to be very stoic. My daughter's boyfriends have always been terrified of me when they come to meet me, and which I find wildly hilarious, because I think I'm a very approachable person.
Probably like doing that machismo dad move where you're like shooting your bow or something. Or you're chopping wood with an axe, or you're target practicing, or something of manliness.
Evidently, I just emanate that particular aura. Even we meet them for dinner, and these guys are just like wide-eyed, like, you know, a deer in the headlights kind of thing. So apparently I must emanate a little bit of predator when it comes right down to it, and that's okay.
When you meet them for dinner, did you kill whatever you're eating, or you actually go to a restaurant to sit down?
A lot. We try to go to a restaurant, because otherwise there's nothing in my freezer that is has not been harvested in some way. So that does tend to put the weight of the scales in my favor just a little bit, if you will. So, and if they walk into my house, yeah, it's a masculine environment. Largely, it's not. There's very few floral duvets sitting around. So. a lot of big words this morning, right?
Let's unpack that. So, all right, so we're good on the mental health thing, right? I want to talk about, dude, I got a doozy for you. So, you know, we're talking about we're moving into this idea of this: are we trying to be liked, or are we getting things done? Right? Are we running a business? Are we putting on an event? Are we moving the needle? Are we shaping? Or are we trying to just pacify and be liked by everybody? Well, the obvious answer is you can't be liked by everybody. You can do the same act of kindness to somebody. I could give a homeless man or woman $50. Half the world will be like, why are you helping that vagrant out? They're going to use it on drugs, blah, 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 blah. The other half is going to directly go, man, that's a great act of kindness, right? So where are we, right? Are we being liked, or are we getting things done? I'm going to stay in the world of business. I'm going to run on here for 2 seconds. So a friend of ours, our TV friend, was dealing with our other speaker friend, female speaker friend, and they were running an event, and there was this exchange where during the event, right, one of the two parties was doing all the work while the other one was kind of off doing something else. And before the event, during the event, and after the event. And then there was this exchange where there was some criticism, and there was accountability, and then somebody threw our TV friend threw some accountability back, and really was prolific in how it impacted the person making some accusations. So in a roundabout way, if you're involved in a project and you're moving needles and you're doing things, the exchange is not always going to be positive and perfect. But before you lob a jab or lob a criticism, understand what your role is and what you're doing. Now, how that translates to being liked and how that translates to moving the needle. Moving the needle is not always comfortable, is it?
Yeah, no.
So when I tell you that, you know, and I when I tell you that two people were arguing about a perspective and both had valid points, our friend won, I would think, but both had valid points. What does that bring up to you in your mind?
Well, one, I would ask the first question of, has there ever been a point when we've been moving the needle that you have been comfortable? I'd be curious about that one, because I wouldn't say not always comfortable. I would say it's never comfortable, and that's okay, because growth happens in discomfort. That's it. Yeah. Growth happens in discomfort. So perspective-wise on that one, so we can go back to communication on this one pretty easily. And I would back that one up and say there wasn't a conversation had pre-event, even in the very beginning planning stages of this, that created the expectations of both parties, clearly an agreement of both parties of, and then the ability of, how do I hold you accountable, right? There wasn't this expectations conversation ever had. So like I'm guessing at this point, because traditional, I'm not guessing, I'm actually making an educated assumption. If you get to the point where you're going to be lobbing jabs, that immediately tells me that that first expectations conversation never happened, right? That's going to be the first thing that I would say about it. Because if that is had, we get to go back and have, it's going to look differently, right? Instead of lobbing jabs or having a altercation at the time to where things have built and boiled all the way up to the surface, we can put the reins on that, right? We can hit the brakes and go, hey, Mike, you know, if it happened between us, and go, all right, in the beginning, we agreed to this. Here's what's happening. Here's what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? We get to have a different conversation if that occurs. Now, obviously, it didn't. Obviously, it didn't. The expectations conversation did not happen, which got us to that point. Yeah. So now it becomes a what do you do? Because now we've got to reset the relationship. These two people are still going to be working together for, it's not going away, right? They're pretty tight within an organization, or pretty ingrained, embedded in this organization, that they're going to be working together. So now a different conversation is going to be had, because guaranteed those two people went back to their corners, and you're noticing the boxing reference here. They went back to their corners to reset. So what are we going to do? We're going to come back up and start punching again, or we got to throw the towel in. Somebody's going to have to man up. I'm going to say this on purpose because of the mental health thing. Somebody's got to man up and be the first one to go, all right, I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to do this. We need to reset so that we can have this correct relationship. Right. Well, that, in my opinion, that's where they're going to have to go next.
Well, you're right. And what I think happened was they're in that process, because somebody made a comment like, hey, it looked like the team was settling for mediocrity. And then it was flipped on its head where, weren't you part of the team? Where was your accountability here? If you're, you know, wait a minute, when did it become, when did you start separating yourself from part of the team, and where's your accountability? Where's your ownership? And that's where it kind of, the reality, I believe, hit the offending party versus the offended party. You know, that's why our friend is so smart. Our TV friend is so smart.
Yeah.
Don't ever tangle
with
that.
Well, again, it never should have got there, right? It never should have gotten there.
It never should have gotten there. But when you say it never should have gotten there, it's almost like, and this is where, like, this is a, here's a sidebar. Like, when you're doing live events, and when you know there's a role, there should be a definite role. Everyone should have a checklist, and there should have conflict resolution and a checklist, and all the way up to pre-events, post-events, everything else. There should absolutely be a checklist. And if you don't have that checklist and you don't have those parameters, there's certain formulas that won't work. And then it doesn't become team, it becomes separate. And you can't have separate when you're doing an event. It's got to be cohesive. It can't be last minute. There's always going to be last minute stuff, right? Like projectors don't work, room is not right, climate control sucks, the AV is screwed. Oh, I need an extension cord. This isn't long enough. The stage is too tall. There's going to be a million things that happen. They always do. I've done 10 times 4, 5, 50, probably 60 live events in my life. And no matter what, there's always something. But if you have your roles down, 5 things doesn't turn into 25 things. And that's what happened in this situation.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. And you're absolutely right. So again, I fall back on the Mike's absolutely right. That goes back to the expectations call. Great. My role is this. I got these 3 pieces covered. Your role is this. You get these 3 pieces covered. Something fails over here. That's on you, because it can't fall all on the one person. It can't fall. And this is regardless of your business, because then you become what? The bottleneck. You become the bottleneck in the event and or your business if you are the one stop at the end, and then you got to call somebody out and say, hey, where have you been? Well, before the event, and I could take our friend, and this is where I would say they probably needed to reach out before the event and reestablish the role, right?
I don't think that was possible.
Oh, that's a tough one. I want to argue that. And I want to say it's always possible.
Somebody's got to be receptive. So in this case, the person you're reaching out to has got to be available.
Also true.
But they've also got to understand if someone has to get it done, even if it's not done perfectly. So if somebody's over capacity to get the ball across the finish line, then you're going to get mixed results. So yeah, you're right. But the problem there was the other person wasn't available, or wasn't making themselves available, or applying the necessary cohesive energy as I watched that thing unfold from afar silently.
Right. Yep. Watch the thing unfold from afar silently. That was nice. I also love there's a quote around it. We won't own this one. Done is better than perfect. And the reality is the event got done, looked amazing, right? I watched it from afar as well. Looked amazing. Stage looked great. Was well attended. Had a great impact for what it was designed to do.
Uh-huh.
So what it tells me is we had 2 different individuals with 2 separate visions of what the event the end result needed to be. That vision was not cohesive initially and had not made, right? We didn't agree on the vision. Maybe we had different visions, but again, it goes back to the very beginning. I will tell you the easiest way to avoid conflict in the first place is to have the right conversations and get the expectations set in the beginning. So, I mean, there's a great little segue into going and getting the app that we built. So I want you to go to www.total-disruption.com. I want you to take the leadership quiz. It's all about me, so it's what I want, right? I want you to take the leadership quiz so that you can understand your leadership archetype, so that you can then see how the app can help you in these situations. Everything in business comes down to your ability to have a conversation and get to agreement. The old mantra of it's going to be a win-win conversation, that's bullshit. Absolutely, that's a male archetype, manly, somebody's got to win. No, they don't. But it's not a participation trophy either. That's not what this is. It's about getting to agreement. It's about mutual vision, so that when you get to the event, whatever your event is, your business, is it an actual live thing, Like, we are all moving towards the same goal together, the same goal. And in this instance, and it's a great reference, there were clearly two separate visions. And one of them got to the point, to Mike's point, of done is better than perfect. When you get to that point, you may have to cash your vision of what it needs to be to make sure it gets done.
Yeah, well, you know, conversely, there was an event, you know, last night too, that went off powerfully, without a hitch, beautifully. So totally different groups. Same group, different person. So it was awesome. Our friend was there too, but
yeah.
Regardless, it's amazing when someone that wants to have their vision seen through, sees it through. There's the lesson, right? You're not running a popularity contest, but what you are doing is leading by example. And what you are doing is, if you want a result, you ultimately have to oversee every step of the way. That's your job. If you have a clear-cut vision as to what you want to have executed, it's kind of like when we do this podcast. We have a clear-cut vision about the information we want to pass across the finish line. You make sure we do that. You make sure that the titles are correct. You make sure the titles are correct. Chris makes sure everything's dialed in. It gets uploaded in a timely fashion. The topics are in a timely fashion. Like, things happen. The look, the feel, everything is on purpose. There's nothing by accident. And our system is smooth. It's super smooth. So if we need to make an adjustment, it's more of a minor tweak versus a major thing. And that only comes from time, and that comes from actually giving a shit. And if you and I, like when we do our events, and we haven't done one in a while, maybe we should do something. And you know what? I talked to Anthony, maybe we should do something late August, because I know you're already doing something in early August. What are you doing in August again, by the way, now that I'm rambling?
I'll be speaking, I'm a keynote speaker in Detroit at the Leadership Experience Tour with Sean Fair, August 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. That is a mountain of speakers, a lot of doctors in the business space that are, that's going to be a pretty epic event, and that's a, it's Men's Mental Health Month. Let's talk about that regardless. And we've got like 3 minutes in which to do it. I am intimidated a little bit by this event. I'm going to say it. I know Mike's a little bit surprised by that, because I'm not intimidated. I don't get scared by stuff. Like I hunt bears. Like, that's the thing that I do. Like, I don't get scared. I don't get it. I'm a little bit intimidated because of the room that I'm going to be in is, and I'm just being honest with it, right? I just want to be honest with it. That's all this one is. I'll just say it in this. Am I going to do it? Oh, yes, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be great at it. And I'm practicing and I'm doing all the things that I know. But I'm recognizing, right? I recognize that I am feeling this little bit of intimidation going into this, because of this event is being run differently than any other event I have ever been a part of. The accountability level 2 months ahead of time is so much higher, so much higher. The bar is a lot higher than what I'm used to. So this is a discomfort spot of, all right, I thought I was running my game really, really well. I thought I was playing at a much higher level. Evidently, there's another space that I need to step into and play at this level. Like, I need two more suits. I need, you know, over the course of the 4 days, because of what they're doing. I mean, there's a lot going in, more going into this one. It's a bigger event.
Yeah,
What's that?
Do I have to wear a suit if I'm attending it?
Oh yeah, you don't need four suits. You can look the same, but I'm on, because of all the interviews I'm doing, I'll be on Fox News, I'll be on ABC, NBC, USA Today. There's a pile of news crews that'll be there, as well as this very TED Talks format that we're doing, as well as the keynote for everybody. This one's run like a show. I've got a schedule to run of where I got to be, when I got to be there, and what I got to be wearing. This one is a much bigger production. Let's put it that way. So it's uncomfortable, which to me,
I'm a little. It's a good thing you run your mouth on TV regularly. So that's great.
I do. I can manage it. I will be great, but it's like, oh, okay. I got to really, really be ready. So I'm having to practice a lot more.
All right. Well, I'm excited. Well, speaking of great, I think we got to get rolling, man. It is time. So, listen, catch up on the app, right? CRG method, total-disruption.com. Get over there, get the app. Tune in next time. We're on all the social channels. My name is Mike Liberace for Dr. Jake Clendenning. You were just live on Total Disruption. We will see you next time.